Welcome to another edition of Teaching Restored, where we get to explore the world of teaching the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Kevin Jones.
And I'm Julie Hilliard. And I'm super jazzed about today, Kevin.
Why is that?
Because I'm never excited. I don't say that every time we start, do I? Is that like literally the way I start every time I'm teaching? I'm so excited about today.
What? Then if you say everyone is special, then no one is special.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that everybody's like, New Zealand every time.
No. So I think you are. Well, would you tell us otherwise? I mean, would you say today is a really boring topic? I hope everybody still listens because.
Actually, probably would, let's be honest. But the fact of the matter is that if I'm going to bore even myself, I'm probably just going to shut my mouth. Okay. Like, I'm going to pick the topic. Right?
Yeah.
So I better be excited.
You better be.
Yeah. But today in particular, because this is taking me back. What we're talking about today is taking me back to like the core of my professional soul.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. So I've talked about the work that I did with Stephen Covey before, right? And what we're talking about today is something that he was really big on and that he really kind of helped me to understand a little bit better. And as I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about today, I started thinking about this topic in particular. Because I'm going to be a little bit honest here for just a second. It's something that I've done without knowing that I've done it. However, moving forward, I intend to be much more intentional about doing it and making sure that I actually write it down. You ready for the topic?
Let's hear it.
I'm not going to tell you yet. Okay. So what we're going to start with is a question.
That is so mean.
I like that. Okay. I want to start with a question. So as a teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what, and you're going to give me a Sunday school answer right now, because I'm asking a question that will yield that.
Okay.
And I'm cool with it.
Okay. Very good.
What is at, like, if you think about a wheel and you have a hub and then spokes, right?
Okay.
What is at the center of everything you strive to do as a teacher? What should be at the center?
To turn people to Christ.
Okay. So if you literally on a piece of paper, this has other notes on it, so don't pay attention, were to draw a circle. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the circle, I am going to write Jesus. Okay.
Great.
Jesus is there in the middle of my circle. So then what are some of the spokes that come out of that when it comes to you being a teacher? Like, what are some of the, my pen stopped working and I'm drawing. This isn't okay. New pen. So what are some of the spokes then? What are some of the, what is the right word for that? Ancillary. I was trying to say ancillary and it wasn't ancillary. Sounding right. Ancillary. Okay. No, what is it?
Ancillary.
What's the word? Ancillary. Kevin, I know that word.
Or ancillary. That works.
Ancillary. Things that would be on the outside of that circle, like the little, which way is my camera? I went the wrong way. What are some of the things that would be spokes, basically, that come out of that?
In a teaching context, you could say there's content.
Okay, excellent.
You can say there's love.
Oh, I likey. Yes. Okay.
You could say there is the scriptures.
Okay.
People, I don't know.
That's the one I was waiting for you to say.
Really? Okay. Okay. Good.
Yes. I was going to fill it in if you didn't say it. Okay. What else? Anything else you can think of?
Room setup.
Okay. So environment.
Environment. Yep. I mean, yeah. I mean, we could go on. I mean, I don't know how detailed you want me to get.
Well, I only need one more to fill up the number of spokes that I abstractly put on my papers.
So have I been missing one that you wanted me to say? Okay.
Because it doesn't really matter what these are.
Okay. Then I will say the spirit.
Okay. So I want you to think about for a minute some, and I just wrote those down for my own benefit because I'm going to reference them in just a second.
Okay.
So I want you to think about some of the things that we accidentally put at the center sometimes instead of Jesus. So what are some of those things that you have kind of built a lesson around, so to speak, or created a classroom around that aren't Christ-centered?
Okay. One of them I would say is just content.
Okay, focus, so you've been really heavy, maybe heavily focused on making sure that you're teaching the right content.
Right, right.
Okay, excellent.
The first thing I thought of was fear.
Okay.
Fear of doing it wrong, or fear that they may not get it right. And so I'm trying to focus on avoiding the fear.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So avoiding fear, avoiding doing it wrong, fear or maybe even insecurity.
Yeah. Insecurity. That's another great one. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so when that's at your center, like, think about what some of the spokes.
Right. That's a good point. Yes.
Okay. So keep going. What are some other things that you sometimes put at the center?
We might, hopefully not, but we might. And actually, I think this comes into everyone to some degree, I think, but, How do I put this? I'm going to say it wrong, and maybe you can clear this up for me, but something along the lines of accolades of men, right?
Okay.
Pride.
So actually, why don't you say people? Like, could have anything to do with the people. It could have to do with wanting a certain person's approval.
Right.
It could have to do with looking good in front of everybody in that classroom. It could be that you're hoping that people will like enjoy your lesson and kind of praise you, give you some credit and be like, man, you're an awesome teacher.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
And those are all things that are centered around trying to please people.
Good. I like that.
Okay.
Please people. Yeah.
Excellent. Anything else that you can think of that, and that's actually one of my big ones. Cause we confess our,
our teaching sins.
Teaching sins, thank you, on this podcast. One of the things I've even found myself doing is if I know a specific person is going to be there that kind of intimidates me, I will plan a lesson that I think, oh, they'd really think that this is cool. Or they'd really, and I literally have, and like, that goes back to insecurity in a way, built a lesson around that person or not done something that I might otherwise have done because I knew that person was going to be there.
That's a great point as well, yeah.
Okay. Any other centers that you can think of?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay. Let me throw a couple out actually. So the other day my son was giving a talk in church and it was so interesting because he's a senior. Like, this kid's going to be going to college. He's going to be preparing lessons, his own talks. He's going to be headed on a mission. Like, I can't hold his hand anymore.
No.
And so he wanted and would ask for little bits of help in brainstorming, but it was so interesting because his focus when he first started was to get a laugh. And so he started trying to build his talk around what jokes am I going to use? What, you know, and then his second priority was, I want it to be authentic. Because he really resonates when people are authentic. So he's like, what stories and experiences am I going to use? And so that was the second thing he kind of built around. And then as we kept talking, he's kind of like, the topic had to do with his relationship with Jesus Christ. And so it very well lended itself to having Christ be the center of it. But he was focused on some of these. And
it was going to be a spoke instead. The topic was going to be a spoke.
Exactly. And it was really interesting to me to hear him processing through that. And I think that we do that sometimes without even knowing that we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as I started thinking about some of the things that we put at our center, I thought, well, how do we hold ourselves accountable for making sure that Christ stays at the center? And I agree with you. We've got to make sure we use the scriptures. There's kind of a checklist of things that we know intuitively as teachers. When we are teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to make sure that we're working from, you know, the right sources, which means we're working from the word of God, and we are working from the words of prophets and apostles. And like, there are things like that. But if we even made that the center, could we miss turning them to Jesus Christ? Potentially, right? Especially if that becomes our center.
Yes.
Like, sometimes, like, I get a little caught up in trying to impress people with scriptural knowledge, or trying to dig so deep in scriptures that I miss the point of helping to turn people to Christ.
Right.
And so I was even thinking about this, like, just as recently as this morning when I'm sitting down to prepare a talk for some youth. I was asked to go speak to some youth, and the topic is awesome. And as I started to read through the verses that they wanted it to center on, I was like, oh, we could take this detour and we could do, and it leads to this. And I got so kind of focused on the scriptures that I forgot the point of the verse. So anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is that we need to figure out how to hold ourselves accountable for that. And so what are some of the ways that, do that?
Oh, I've got an idea.
Oh, talk to me.
So when you asked that, a couple minutes ago, I came up with an idea that won't work, but I thought would be really funny. Remember at the last State of the Union address, President Trump was talking, and if you saw that, and people were holding up these round signs. They just go.
See, I only heard it.
Oh, you heard it? Okay. So people were holding up these signs, like, you know, imagine a tongue depressor with just a little round, like 4-inch round sign that they'd hold up. And I don't remember what they all said, but it would be really funny to give one of these to everyone and say, if I am not focused on Jesus Christ, hold it up, and it says, and it'll say something like, Jesus is missing, and they just hold it up like that. And you go, oh, okay, I need to refocus. Oh
my gosh. Can you even imagine what that would be like in your class?
Jesus is missing. You're missing Jesus.
Like, I seriously can picture that. I kind of have to say, I think that would be awesome.
Okay, awesome. I dare someone to do it and have someone else video it and see what happens. Just so, and then share it with us.
I love it. Yes, please do. Please do. I invite you to. I encourage you to.
Very good.
Okay, so other than that, Kev.
Okay.
Other than that. I want you to think about, like, even in your preparation, you know, we have strategies for helping ourselves kind of make sure that we stay Christ-centered. I'll tell you one of mine. It's related to one of the spokes that you mentioned, and it was the Spirit. Like, I really try and seek the Spirit. And how do I do that? Like, let's get down to actual things that we do. I will spend time on my knees. I will, you know, as I'm even just driving in the car or whatever, and it's on my mind, I'll just pray for a little bit of enlightenment and things like that. So, I mean, that's something that we consistently do, right? I would say,
yeah, yes. I do, but I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that we can do all those things and still miss that.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
I would agree. So I was thinking in my mind, I'd like to figure out a way to get this even deeper into us, this focus, this centering everything around Jesus Christ. And so I started to think about this in the context of some work I'm doing for a book I'm working on. And there's a specific thing that I'm encouraging. It's a book about communication and marriages. And at the beginning of it, I take couples through an exercise week by week, piece by piece, to help them develop their own marriage mission statement. And so I started thinking about, What's the purpose of a mission statement? And my favorite way to think about a mission statement is that it is the decision that governs all of your decisions. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, I like that.
So, and I think of it like this. It's a choice that you make consciously with effort, with thought. And once you make that choice, you take all of the other decisions that you make in your life and you ping your mission statement. And so it kind of holds you accountable for keeping the main thing the main thing. That's how Stephen Covey would say it.
There you go. I saw that.
Main thing.
I like
right?
it.
Right? And so I thought, well, why would we not go through the exercise of developing a mission statement for our specific teaching callings? And then we bounce all of our decisions in terms of preparation, in terms of activities, in terms of things that we're doing, you know, outside of the classroom to help kind of connect with the people that are in our class, especially when we're working with youth. We really kind of frame our efforts and the choices that we make with regard to where to spend our time around that mission statement. And so I kind of want to go through and talk about how to do that. How's that sound?
I like that a lot. I like cool. that. That's a great idea. So,
do you remember how I said at the beginning that I feel like this is something that I've done, but I haven't really like been intentional about? So if I were to tell you what my mission statement was in that stake teaching calling that I had before, I could phrase it. And this is kind of because this was always in my mind. I just didn't put it on paper. It was to create connections. And when I think about connections, I think about the idea of people feeling seen, heard, and valued. And I would say that my goal was to create connections, and that was enough for me to use that word. But what it meant to me was vertical connections and horizontal connections. I wanted the people in that classroom to feel connected to each other and to feel empowered to connect horizontally with those around them as they translated what we were talking about into action and applied it in their daily lives. So that's part of when I say, you know, a mission statement can be code language. It can be pregnant with meaning. For me, that idea of creating connections meant something deeper than just connect with each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then obviously the most important one was to help them vertically connect with our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. And so I can tell you that what I would do in that class was very intentional. Like I really wanted it to feel like people could be authentic and share, because that's part of creating connections. And so I was practicing the skills that we've probably discussed ad nauseum on this before about, you know, using the skill of empathy, making sure that everyone had a voice, making sure that people, like I was really focused on trying to pull in participation from everyone instead of being satisfied with the few that were talking the most. Mm-hmm. And so that all of the decisions that I made to try and pull people in and the effort that I would put into that was based on this overarching decision that I had made that I wanted to help people create connections. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. So let's talk about how we do that. Do you have any thoughts before we get into the how?
No. I want to see how this works. Good. Because I think it's a great idea to hold ourselves accountable to that. Because how many times do we get done with a class and all right, yeah, that was good. And we move on. But to look back and say, did I do that? Well, did I do what?
Did I do what? That's the thing. Like when you think about, you know, Stephen would always talk about the idea of, you know, you can climb a ladder until you're blue in the face, but then when you get up to the top and you discover that the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall, so what if you were efficiently climbing it?
Right.
And so you've got to make sure that you're very intentional about what it is that you're trying to accomplish, what it is that you're working towards, or you'll never reach it.
Right.
And, or you'll reach something that you never intended to reach. And, and you don't want to look back and feel, you know, any sense of that. You want to feel like I made this decision, you know, and this is I would suggest a prayerful decision about what it is that I am supposed to specifically be working towards And then you can start trying to be more efficient and more effective and all of those things. But you got to make sure that your ladder's leaning against the right wall first.
Agreed.
And being intentional about that. So before we start diving into some of the nitty-gritty about how to do this, I want to ask you just a question, because this was actually kind of an interesting thing as I asked myself this. So what are some of the teaching callings, and I use that in air quotes because sometimes it's formal, sometimes it's not, that people have? Like, just start listing them.
Like officially? I mean,
yeah, like officially or callings, meaning, so I'll just put it out there. As a parent, you're a teacher. Okay. As a missionary, that's formal. Okay, yeah. That's whatever. Great. So like, start listing others.
Well, we have all the, do you want the regular callings, like Sunday school, and you've got youth, and you've got a leader, a called leader in the church as well, like a bishop or relief society, elders quorum, presidents, right? Et cetera, et cetera. Just a friend.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Teaching totally. Friends, right?
Yep. Right. Like Sunday school, you said primary. We don't talk about primary.
Yeah, of course. Yep. Yeah, primary. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you seminary. Think about those, seminary. Institute.
Yep.
Right? All of those. Pathways.
Great. Yes.
Okay. So you have had several different teaching callings over the course of your membership in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as have I. Mm-hmm. Do you think that your mission statement, looking back on those callings, would be different in different callings, or would your mission statement be the same across the board?
Well, I'm thinking about the hub and spoke, right?
Okay.
Yep. If it's all to bring, if it's all supposed to be centered around Jesus Christ, then in that respect, it should be the same. If we want to add in the mission statement particulars, like when Kelly and I taught Institute, that would be little different particulars than an elders quorum president, right? Mm-hmm. Where I'm not officially teaching, but I'm teaching all the time at the same time, right?
Okay.
So, but it's all centered on Jesus. But so I guess it depends on this mission statement. How deep do we go when we create this mission statement?
Excellent. Okay. So what I heard you say there is that if it's all supposed to be centered on Jesus Christ, then potentially it could look the same in almost any calling that you have, right?
Sure.
However, what you also said is that the particulars of it might look different based on what your calling is. And I started to think about it and I'm like, are you talking about the mission statement looking different or the strategies? And I thought, you're for sure talking about the strategies. And could you be talking about the mission statement? So I started thinking about this a little bit, and I'll tell you what my thought or insight was.
Great.
If our desire is the same, if, you know, we are not putting people, environment, the spirit, content, scriptures, or whatever at the center, rather we're putting Jesus Christ at the center, the way that we're going to go about accomplishing that based on who it is that we are teaching is definitely going to need to look different.
Sure.
So could your mission statement in that particular setting be customized specifically for that group? And I think the answer is yes. So I was thinking about, for example, when I was teaching the seniors, in order to help bring the seniors closer to Jesus Christ, I knew that one of the things that I had to do was get them talking to me and talking to each other, or they were never going to be able to emotionally kind of open their ears. And so as I kind of got into that calling, I just had this sense that I couldn't just go straight to Jesus and like use all of those spokes and cram him down their throats and just like use the strategies and blah. I felt a sense that I needed to do something different. And so my decision in that setting would be, or my mission statement in that setting might look different than, for example, right now I'm teaching a marriage class. And so my mission in that marriage class is actually not going to talk about Christ initially, it's going to talk about strengthening the unity in that marriage so that they together can come closer to Jesus Christ. So the end goal is the same, that it's all focused on Christ, but the particular emphasis of that, the objective, also has to do with helping them to come closer as a couple and to remove barriers as it relates specifically in this case to communication in their relationship. And so I haven't formulated or articulated a mission statement for that, but in my mind, I'm like, no, that would actually look different.
Sure.
And so the gut check for us before we start the process of developing a mission statement and putting on paper is, what's my center? What is my Julie Hilliard's center when it comes to this calling? And making sure that if I'm not already there, that I do the work to get past the insecurities, do the work to get past some of the fears, even just mentally, right? And that's inviting more of the Spirit, and that's me personally, so that I know that what I create in terms of my mission statement is going to be the decision to help people come closer to Christ by executing on this mission statement. Does that make sense?
Yes. So did you create a mission statement for this, for any of, for example, your marriage class yet? Have you done that?
No, but I intend to.
Okay.
Like, good. I fully intend to, because I was going through the process of this. And like I said, it was so crystal clear to me, but I didn't put it on paper when I was teaching this other class. Mm-hmm. And it's clear to me in my mind, but I haven't done the work to articulate it. And you know what's interesting? I'm getting into my final marriage class starting at the beginning of May. And so that's next Sunday. And the further that I've gotten into it, the more I felt a need to have that mission statement, because sometimes I feel like the intent of the class gets a little bit muddied and lost as we get into some of the nitty-gritty of the content. And so part of what led me to decide to talk about this is actually sensing in myself that I should have done better about that. Like, this is something I should have done at the beginning. So it's something I intend to do.
Okay. So let me ask this then. Let's say you're going to repeat this marriage class. And mm-hmm. at the end of this one, you create your mission statement. And then you go to the next marriage class series and you start doing this, right? Mm-hmm. Do you share that with them?
The mission statement?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. You know what's interesting? So in principle, I actually rarely share my, I share my mission statement actually when people ask. A mission statement feels personal to me, but yeah, I would be willing.
That's what I'm thinking as well. Because if it's a mission statement as you prepare and everything, and they're a part of the teaching as well, because you want them involved in it, maybe you do share. And then if you share it with them, do you co-create it with them as well?
Okay. So actually, as you said that, I actually had that thought.
Okay.
I am a firm believer in the idea of no involvement, no commitment.
Sure.
And so if you wanted to have a class mission statement, I think you would have to co-create it.
Right.
Right. So, I would think so too. So I'm just going to add a little bit more detail as to why this was on my mind.
Okay.
So in my new calling, I'm responsible for outreach with regard to communication. So I'm on the communication council, right? And there's this woman that I've been communicating with on email, and she's part of the Coalition of Southwest Washington. I'm losing the name because I'm on camera, right? But it's kind of an effort to bring people of different faith traditions and different, you know, religious denominations together and allowing them to share their beliefs with each other.
Good.
And so there are people of a whole bunch of different faiths that participate in this. And yesterday she emailed me and said, hey, we're actually going to be getting together and creating our mission statement tonight. And would you like to come? And unfortunately I had a different meeting and I couldn't go, but I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. That sounds so amazing. And they, what they'd done is they'd invited people from these different faiths, I think, who were taken on leadership roles in this group to get together and co-create that mission. And I was so impressed. And I thought, wow, as they move forward, having that mission statement will help them stay focused on what they intend to accomplish the most. And so I'm working on an initiative in our stake, and I've already started to work on the mission statement for that initiative. Because I'm like, that is where we need to start. We need to start by creating that mission statement. So to answer your question, I think that would be incredible. If you're going to be together for a period of time, then co-creating a mission statement, because everyone's involved in the teaching, would be amazing. And I would still encourage you to do the work personally to create a teaching mission statement for yourself that will help you hold yourself accountable for approaching, because you're going to do the prep. They're not doing the prep the same way you are. That will hold you accountable for making sure that you keep the main thing as you prepare.
That's great.
I talked a lot.
Oh, I need to think about that, because I'm not in a teaching calling right now, although I am in a calling that teaches a lot.
You're EQP, right?
Yeah. And so I am teaching individuals as I counsel with them, as we get in smaller groups. It's more on a smaller group basis, of course, like a family or whatever, but I'm going to have to think about that on the teaching level. What's my mission statement for that? Because again, it's not directly teaching all the time. So
don't make it about teaching. Actually, I would say this, and this is kind of pulling back a little bit from our purpose. What's your mission statement in your calling?
Yeah.
So we're talking to people who probably in our audience are coming because they're focused on trying to improve as teachers. So I'm focused on that specifically, but I would say pull back. What is your mission statement in your calling? And some of that might come when you're set apart. You know what I mean? Like some of that might come. So listen closely as you're set apart to that blessing. And so some of it might come as you get started, but having that very clear intent and being focused on being intentional about it, I think is a really important exercise. Less important than the words you actually end up using is the exercise that you go through to get there. Right. So should we go into the how just a little bit?
Let's do it, please. Yes. Yes. Okay. I need some help on this.
When I'm doing like a corporate mission statement, or, you know, because I'll facilitate that sometimes at work. Or when I'm working with somebody on like a family mission statement, for example, the exercises are just a little bit different. And so I'll tell you what that looks like, but then I want to be a little bit more specific to teaching. So sometimes, like, for example, on a personal mission statement or a corporate mission statement, you need to do some brainstorming, right? And so people will write down just a list of words that describe what it is that they feel like their purpose is. And just, you're asking yourself, so as you're mind dumping all of these words, you're asking yourself some questions. And so the questions are going to look a little bit different for teaching, but that's what I want to focus on. So to get some words onto paper, what are some of the questions you intuitively might think to ask yourself? Can you think of any questions that would help you hone in on what it is that you're trying to accomplish?
Well, just that question right there. What am I trying to accomplish? If there's a point A and a point B, what does the point A and point B look like?
Okay, so get specific with accomplish, not just accomplish. What do you want? Let me just throw out a few. What do you want people to do?
Right.
As a result of what? Okay. What do you want people to feel? What do you want people to know?
To know. What do I want people to walk away? You said do. That could be doing in class, but that could be also doing outside of. What do you want them to do after they leave, right?
Okay.
What do you want them to share?
Oh, that's a great question.
What do you want? What change do you want them to make?
Okay, good one.
What do you want them to, this is kind of the same, but what do you want them to be motivated to do? Mm.
Okay, can I use a different word than that? So inspired. Think about inspired.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's hone in a little bit. So now I'm going to read you the list that you just kind of came up with, and I threw a few in. And then I want you to think back to this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Think back to being focused on Jesus Christ. So what do we want them to do in class, outside, after? What do we want them to feel? What change do we want them to make? What do we want them to know? What do we want them to share? What do we want them to be motivated or inspired to do? Now go back to the center being Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And let's expand on some of those. So,
okay.
What do you want to accomplish? So think about that. What do you want people to do inside of class? And then how does that connect back to Jesus Christ? Outside of class?
Okay.
How does that connect back? You see what I'm saying? Any thoughts?
So I would say one of them is the do part. I would love for them to share their testimonies.
Okay.
Of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Whether they, and not in the way, I'd like to bear my testimony, right? And it just may just be in an answer to a question. It may be more sharing an experience that they had, and they are sharing their testimony in there because of that experience. Okay. So that's
Can I tell you something? I'm going to tell you something I just heard in that. Tell me if this is what you were getting at. I'm hearing you say you want people to feel like they can talk more naturally about Christ. You want them to be able to answer questions with more confidence. You want them to be able to share experiences. And so you started with sharing testimonies, and then you clarified, not like a bear testimony, but rather, sorry, I shouldn't mock.
I tried not to laugh at that one, but that's okay.
I'm sorry. I caught myself. That was not kind. But like what it sounded like to me is that you want people to feel more confident in their own testimony, maybe, or more confident sharing, expressing more, like it comes more naturally, maybe.
Yeah. Am I getting it? Yeah. I actually didn't think of it that way, but that would, what I was thinking necessitated that. So yes, you're right.
Okay. Okay. So now let's take it to a different one really quickly. So let me be explicit about what I'm doing. Okay. When it comes to putting together a mission statement, like a corporate mission statement, you talk through, tell me more about what you do. Tell me more about what you want to accomplish. Same type of question, right? Mm-hmm. And then you'd ask them to break it down. What does that look like? What are the services that you provide? How do you want to provide those services? What do you want people to feel? What do you want them to know? So literally kind of the same things. But then you have to take each question and kind of start to extrapolate, okay, now what's your center? Let's ping that center. How do these things connect? How does what you want to accomplish connect back to Jesus Christ? Right? Good. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do, yes.
Okay, so let's take another one then.
Okay.
Let's take feel. Okay?
Okay.
So connect that to Jesus Christ.
Want to them our center. To feel loved.
Okay, so loved. I want to pause you for just a second. By whom? In what way?
By, first off, the Savior and Heavenly Father, and by myself and each other, the people around them.
Okay. So now all of those are pretty connected, right? Because sometimes the way that you feel the love of the Savior is through the love of each other and your love. So we can all kind of be instruments, but that does wrap up. So the reason that I made that explicit is because of the fact that when you talk about wanting them to feel love, if you dive in and really kind of spell out, okay, that means the love of Jesus Christ, that means love of Heavenly Father, that means love for each other, that might actually be something pretty specific that informs what would be included in your mission statement. So you do kind of have to break down your answers a little bit. Okay,
right,
keep
right.
going. What else do you want them to feel
love? I would want them to feel like they can be successful in reading and understanding the scriptures.
Oh my gosh, love that. And I love how that connected back to Christ. You want them to feel confident, right?
Mm-hmm.
Successful in their ability to study about, to dive into, to comprehend, to apply the scriptures. Okay, so now I want you to think a little bit about how that connects to this idea of motivation, right? When you took and connected what you want them to feel, part of what you're bringing in is, I want them to feel like they can do it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And when people feel like they can do something independently, they feel more motivated to do it on their own.
Yes.
It doesn't feel like there's this massive hurdle. So part of what I hear you saying in that is that you want them to feel a little bit more kind of independence even.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that is okay. Part of it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Excellent. One more feel? Any more?
Oh, I had one and then I lost it.
Okay, that's okay. In the interest of time, we can keep moving because okay. I don't want this to take too long. So what we're doing right now in this exercise, you would do for every one of those that we came
yes.
up with. So you do the same thing for no. What do you want them to know? Well, I want them to know. And you're going to find that as you do this breakdown with each question, you're actually going to start to see them all meld together. Right? Mm. They gel beautifully. Because think about how no now connects with feel. Well, what you want, I want them to know a little bit more about their identity as a son or daughter of Jesus Christ. I want them to know more about the Savior so that they feel more connected to him. And what is the fruit of that? Well, they'll feel more loved by him. So you can kind of see how they start to marry. And what ends up happening is that you'll see some trends emerge. As you go through each question, you're going to start to, this is kind of what I started doing. I started putting squares around things that were like trends. You just kind of start to circle, oh, wait a minute, this would apply to all those categories. And you'll start to find some trends. The next suggestion that I would make is that you go into the scriptures and that you look for verses about teaching. And for example, I was thinking about this because in section 42 of the Doctrine and Covenants, 42 is the law, right? Isn't that right? I think it is. It's the section on the law.
Or 43.
Yeah. So that.
Okay.
Okay. One of those two. I can't remember. So, and when you're in that section, there are a couple of verses specifically about teaching. I'm just going to go there. We just got to go there because okay. The scriptures are amazing. And I know I can find it again because I was just reading it. Okay. Doctrine and Covenants. I think it is 42. Let's see. Two parts. Elders called. Yep. And I think it's around verse. Jerusalem, preach, ordained authority, elders, teachers, priests, observe covenants by the Spirit. Okay. No, it's not. Maybe it is 43. Gosh darn it. Ah, okay. So I'm not finding it. Point of voice inches. Oh, yes, it is this one. Okay. Oh, I can't find the specific verse. But there are several that talk about being endowed with power that you might be able to teach. And there's some specific stuff focused on teaching in here. And I'm just having a little bit of difficulty finding.
42:6?
Is it 6? Given to you that may not be deceived. Is it 42 verse 6? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I feel like that's where it was. Nope.
No. Okay.
No, there was this verse that I came across. Okay, so I don't want to waste anybody's time. But it talked about, oh, here it is. Huh, it's verse 14.
Very good.
Okay. And it talks about being doing things as directed by the Spirit. And so it says, and the Spirit shall be given unto you by the prayer of faith. And if you receive not the Spirit, ye shall not teach. Okay. And so I'm like, oh, that's a really great verse about teaching. And I, that would lead me to, well, how do I receive the Spirit? And study some of those verses about instruction that is given to teachers. And there are talks in spades about teaching with instruction from different prophets and apostles in our gospel library, like so many resources that you could drown in them. And so my suggestion is that you then go and learn a little bit about and teaching in the Savior's way and some of those. You don't need to drown. I'm not suggesting that you drown, but just add some of that language. What resonates? What stands out to you? Maybe jot a note. And then what you're going to come up with is a big paper full of scribbles, and you're going to be a tiny bit overwhelmed. And that is not the point. The point is that something's going to stick out. It will. It just will. So I can tell you that in my experience, the overarching suggestion that I would have when you have this big giant thing in front of you is not to go and try and write a paragraph about what your mission statement is. My suggestion is to write a maximum of one sentence. My personal mission statement is one word, but it's a word that's meaningful to me. Like I was saying, the mission statement that I didn't write down, but that I had in my brain the whole time for my other thing was two words, creating connections, right? Gotcha.
Okay.
But that was super meaningful to me. And so as you study all of these things, you might come up with a word or a theme or something that you feel like you need to focus on in these settings. So for example, this list would look different for me in my marriage class. Like, what do I want them to do?
Sure.
I want them to go home and talk to each other. Honestly, that's what I want them to do. I want them to talk about the hardest topics that they can come up with and learn how to see them through the lens of the Spirit and give each other grace in those difficult conversations. Like, that's a very different behavior than you're looking for from a youth Sunday school class that you're teaching, right? What do I want them to feel? Well, I want them to feel more of the Spirit. I want them to have the Holy Ghost in their home. And I also want them to feel more love for each other. So that's a hard, like that's a big emphasis,
right?
Very, very clear. And so some of the words, some of the phrases that are gonna come into my mind are gonna look a little bit different for that setting than they would for a different one. But things will be highlighted to you. And then start trying it on for size. Pick out just a couple of words. Start pinging your next class against it and say, okay, how am I going to approach the next class that I'm teaching if this is my mission statement? What are some of the things I might decide to do differently? And if you're like, absolutely nothing whatsoever, this is stupid, then maybe you haven't actually dug in enough. Because truly, like truly, as I started to think about this, if I'm very intentional about it, then my desire to be a little bit distracted by, oh, I want to impress this couple. Oh, this guy's really smart. He's actually a psychologist. And so when I talk about this, I want to make sure that I use all the right language. I'm going to spend more time on that. No, wrong focus. Back to my mission statement. My mission statement has to do with these couples and their relationships with each other and with Jesus Christ. Okay, so who gives a rip if he's way more educated than me and all of my insecurities are screaming in my head? No, let's go back. What is the conversation that we need to have in that space together that will help them as a couple and everybody else in there to come closer in their relationship into Jesus Christ? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes, I do. Good.
Okay.
I love this. So, okay. So what is... So when you say create this mission statement and you're describing this, I'm not seeing this as a, oh, I'm going to sit down for a half an hour and create this mission statement. This is a, almost like a living, breathing thing to, well, at least maybe to an extent, right? I mean, it's not just, it's here and done, and I've done it and move on. It is, oh, like you said, ping it off a class and go, oh, that didn't quite sit. And so it's malleable in a way.
In a way. So what I would say is it needs to be a decision at some point. But yeah. I think that the best way to make sure you've got it right is to try it on for size.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, yeah. Does it really yeah. say what you want it to say? Because part of what I did, like in the development of my personal mission, actually, let me use a corporate one because it feels just a little bit better. We came up with some really cutesy language at one point with this company I was working with. And it was great, but then you kind of realize it's missing a certain aspect. And you're like, well, we left this out. And so when we came together the next time, we're like, okay, what was left out? And then, or did we get it right? And you kind of say, well, I think we missed this. Like, I still feel like this is missing. And that's what you might experience. And right. So I think about this mission statement for my husband's practice, for example. We went through this exercise like 15, 17 years ago of developing a mission statement, and it's still exactly the same. Mm. It's pediatric dentistry, and it's big kids taking care of little kids, one tooth, one smile, one family at a time. And I remember as we were going through that, we had to incorporate dentistry, we had to incorporate orthodontics. And so we're like, how do we incorporate both of those things? How do we communicate quality? How do we communicate relationships? What types of relationships are important to us? How do we also take into consideration that we really want our staff to have fun? Like, that was one of our priorities. And so it's big kids taking care of little kids. That communicates the thing about being kids great. At heart. You know what I mean? And so you kind of have to start, come up with something, try it on, make sure it's not missing anything. And then it starts to kind of sink in and you start to feel more settled. But at some point you do have to make a decision, because if you're like, oh, this is too hard, then it's not really helpful to you. So to say that it's malleable leaves a little bit of room to not hold yourself accountable. And so once you've made the decision, you have to stick with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You don't want it to be malleable forever. You gotta come up with something to ping it off of. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
So that's it. That's what I had for today. It's interesting because going through this exercise, I feel a little bit like every single one of us needs to be doing this in our lives personally. Like, sure. What is our life about? What is it that we want to contribute? I have my kids, actually, it's so interesting. Teenagers. Do you have teenagers that ask you those types of questions? What is my thing, Mom? What is it that I really am? Like, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait for you to get your patriarchal blessing. And then once they have their patriarchal blessing, I'm just like, go read your patriarchal blessing. But you can't memorize your patriarchal blessing. What if part of, like, my personal mission statement and my patriarchal blessing, hand in hand.
Gotcha.
But my personal mission statement is one word. My patriarchal blessings, you know, long.
A few more.
So yeah, a few more than one.
A few more.
Right? And yeah. So I think it's a valuable exercise to go through with kids, teenagers specifically, to go through in your family. We have a family mission statement. Our family mission statement is hands held high. And what we wanted to communicate is that we are all like lifting each other. And we're all reaching toward heaven. And we're also what were some of the questions? What do we want to accomplish as a family? What do we want to feel in our home? What do we want to be doing, working towards? What are our motivations? Do you see what I'm saying? Kind of those same type of questions. And then as we went through and developed the mission statement, we came up with that phrase to describe what it is. And that's been since before we had kids.
Wow.
Or actually, it was right before we had Liam, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Okay. So what do you want those who are listening to come back to us with? Right? Yes. Wouldn't it be cool? Go ahead.
Say it. I want them to share their mission statements.
We just want to share it. We want to know what they are. If you go through this, which we hope you do, what is yours?
Yes.
And that could be inspiration for other people as well who get this. And you know, if we get enough of these, we're going to go, okay, we're reading these and we're going to read different examples of them. And by the way, don't be afraid that your mission statement is weak or, oh, this isn't worthy of what, no, it doesn't matter. It's yours. It's the one you felt inspired to do.
Right.
Excellent.
Right.
Let's talk about it. Let's share it so that other people can get a sense of, oh, that's how you can do it. Okay. Because I know some of you out there, I know some of you out there will be a little bit intimidated by this and go, oh, I won't do that because that sounds like a lot of work, or, you know, I'm already focused on Christ, or whatever it may be. Right. Let's do it still.
And if I could ask, what are some of the challenges you had in doing it?
Did you
get stuck?
Yes.
Right. And like, let's help each other. If you need help, we are here for you. We will help you. Send us an email. We'll help you process through some of the questions, some of the words you might use, some of the scriptures you might reference. We are here for you.
We are here for you. That is our mission statement right now. We are here for you.
We're here for you. That's true.
Good. I like it. Please share with us. We would love to hear that. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Julie. What a great idea. I think I'm just going to go do that for my calling overall.
Yeah,
I think that's great. Yes. I'm doing it.
Me too.
Deal. Thanks, Julie. Thanks for everyone. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.